Hello. It is now Tuesday at the time of recording, and it is 3 days after I hosted my very first solo live event in Amsterdam last Saturday. And 3 days later, I'm still glowing. I am so happy with the live event and how it went. In case you missed it, I guided 13 Globetrotters and expats on a personal growth journey during an afternoon in Amsterdam. And in 4 hours, they did really powerful coaching exercises, and they shared certain struggles or tips that they had around topics that more people were dealing with. And after those 4 hours, we had a drink to cheers to our journey and to mingle, and it was really nice. And with about half of them, we also went for a spontaneous dinner. And I was very happy because as a coach, I love seeing self-awareness with the people that I coach and aha moments and insights that they can take with them after the event. Such insights are really valuable. But as a former expat and as a human being, I also really love bringing together people and connecting them. And individually, I often work with amazing people and I know them all, but they don't know each other. And I know that they struggle with the same things or that they have the same sort of personality and that they would really get along, but they don't know each other. So one of my goals for this event was also to connect them and to increase their network and see, hey, I'm not the only one dealing with this, or I really enjoy talking to you. Can we hang out more often? And so that happened. So I'm very happy, and hence the glow. And something personally also that I realized is that I was really in my zone of genius coaching 13 people. I mostly coach one-on-one, although I have hosted some events with some business partners before for groups, and I also had a six-month group program. The episode of last week with Akanshka, she was one of the members of my group program. But this was my very first solo live event, coaching a group of 13 people in person in one afternoon. And all of them on a different journey with different goals, with different questions. So it was a little bit new to me as well. But like I said, while doing it, I really felt in my zone of genius. I felt really comfortable in front of this group and as if really I can bring my best qualities out in such a setting. But even though I felt like that during the event, it for sure didn't feel like that beforehand. And that's what I want to be talking about today in this episode. And you may have seen me on Instagram or hear me talk about it here on the podcast about the event and how excited I was. And I was all of that. And it may came across as very natural to you that I was organizing this, but this wasn't the case at all. This wasn't a no-brainer thing for me to organize. It was really a step out of my comfort zone. And last week, while I was preparing the event and the program and getting a few more people in, I actually felt quite some fear and pressure around it. When the event was happening in 1, 2, 3 days, this was when I felt the most fear, actually. And deep down, I knew I wanted to do it and that it would be a good idea for me. But it also felt pretty scary. And I want to open up some space around this topic about stepping out of your comfort zone and the fears that come with it. Because it may look easy or natural or normal on the outside when someone steps out of their comfort zone, but you might actually not realize that this person is stepping out of their comfort zone. And you probably also know how it feels to be in it while you are stepping out of your comfort zone and the fears that might pop up with it. And even when I really wanted to organize this event and I was very enthusiastic about it, I also felt stressed and scared. And actually, the day before, it was Friday morning, and I was just going through some of the final things of the program, and there was one part I wasn't really sure of, and I was waiting for my business bestie to wake up. She lives in Peru, and I wanted to go over the program with her and get her input on it. But until then, this was around 2 p.m., I guess, that I would call her, I was stuck with this, like, I don't feel sure about this part of the program. And without that part being confirmed, I couldn't progress with a few other final touches that I still had to do. And so I really felt stuck. And this is when I felt the stress and the pressure and the fear. And so on Friday morning, about 11 a.m., I called my best friend in a mild panic. And I was like, Oh, fuck. I'm actually really nervous. And I know it's going to be fine because I rationally know my qualities and I know what I'm capable of and what I can deliver. But my irrational side is really freaking out right now. Can you please be there for some emotional and practical support? Thankfully, she said yes right away, but she also had another thing to say, and that was that, Amanda, this is what growth looks like. And of course, I knew that, but in that moment, I had kind of forgotten about it. Because that Friday, and also a couple of evenings before it, as I was preparing the program, I really felt like, why am I doing this? Why can't I just be like the majority and set my bar a little bit lower so that I can just watch Netflix tonight and stay comfortably in my comfort zone, just like the majority of the people do? And while one part of me thought that, another part thought, but Amanda, you also want a different life. You don't want a life like the majority has. So this is what it takes. So I stayed my course, I changed my thoughts for something more empowering, and I got into action with the end result of a really nice, successful event where all 13 Globetrotters left very happily. And I do this more often, going out of my comfort zone. Although I have to admit that this was actually the first time in a long time, maybe even almost 2 years or so, that I really felt that level of nerves again. It had been a long time since I had ventured so far out of my comfort zone. Because the other times I organized live events, it was always with someone else, so the nerves felt less. And this time, it was all on me. This is what caused the nerves. And while I was feeling that, I was also thinking, oh, that's actually pretty nice, because I haven't felt like this in a long time. So if I feel so many nerves right now, I'm about to quantum leap in my growth. And that thought made me really happy. It's actually really funny because now that I'm thinking about it, when I moved to Rio in January of this year, it didn't feel like stepping out of my comfort zone at all. But organizing a live event for 13 people does. We all have our own version of our comfort zone and what is scary outside of that. But anyway, as I was thinking about the comfort zone and stepping out of it and what is required and when I've done it before and what it had always unlocked for me, I was thinking it would be nice to share a few tips that can help you to step out of your comfort zone. Because I know it's a cliche, but really that is where the magic is. So I have 7 tips for you that hopefully can help you to venture off and do something that is uncomfortable, but which is going to unlock your growth. So tip number 1, and that is that you need to focus on the end result and how you're going to feel in the end result. You got to stay mindful of where you want to be. You've got to really visualize it. Because while you're in the process of going out of your comfort zone, this is probably not very fun, but that process is leading you to something that you want. And in the process, you have to overcome fear. Maybe you have to sacrifice a few things like your free time or time with family or something else. Maybe you need to make a financial investment. Maybe you've got to become really visible, which can be scary too. Or maybe you need to train if it's something related to sports. Whatever it is, the goal that you're after is going to ask something from you that doesn't come easy, because otherwise it would be in your comfort zone. So in that process, it's not going to feel nice all the time. And so it really helps to be aware of where you're going to and to really visualize that, to really see it already in front of you. Because this boosts your motivation and reminds you of what you're all doing it for. And by the way, if that end goal doesn't really excite you or you wouldn't feel that happy with the end goal, then this might not be the right goal for you outside your comfort zone. Just a little side note, very often a lot of people don't know if they don't really want something or they are just scared. And I always like to think, if the end result makes me happy, then it means I'm just a little bit scared to do it. But the end goal is what I'm after. But if the end goal doesn't excite me that much, then it's probably not the right goal for me. So if you have an end goal that makes you happy, keep it in mind. It's the same when you want to run a marathon. I ran 2 marathons before. And so, let me tell you, that was a sacrifice. And it was very, very much out of my comfort zone at that time. But while I was training and running in the rain or in 30 degrees when I was living in Brazil and running 32 kilometers and really asking myself, why am I doing this? I just remembered the date of the marathon and how happy, relieved and strong and powerful and accomplished I would feel at the finish line. And that is the thing that kept me going. And that also really eventually allowed me to also enjoy the process, not to see it as a sacrifice. Tip number two is that you need to remember that feeling stressed, scared, or just unsure is simply part of the process. Our subconscious mind wants to keep us safe, and we can keep safe if we stay in the familiar. And by definition, if you go out of your comfort zone, you go out into unfamiliar territory. So your brain is going to subconsciously give you all the things to tell you, warning, this is dangerous. This is not something that you know. You need to pay attention. And that can create a lot of emotions like fear popping up that are not very rational, but they feel very real. Or thoughts that give you seemingly rational reasons to not do it. They give you reasons why it's better to not go after that goal, to not move abroad, to not change your careers. And these thoughts seem very rational and logical, and so you pay more attention to them. And a lot of people then decide, okay, it's better to just not go for it because I need to keep safe. Well, this is a whole subconscious process. And as you're venturing out of your comfort zone, you just got to remember that all these emotions and these thoughts are part of it. Because if you can recognize that this has happened, it helps you to not be in it. It helps you to view all those thoughts and emotions with a bit of distance and just see, okay, this is normal, but this doesn't mean I have to listen to it. This doesn't mean that I am this if I think this way. You can just see it for what it is, an emotion or a thought that is not serving you. But if you can't keep that distance, you are really in it, and then those emotions might take you over. The fear can become very big, or the uncertainty, or those thoughts really look so convincing that you decide to listen to them. If you really want to go out of your comfort zone, just remember that all these emotions and thoughts are part of the process, and so if you can spot them, this helps you to take more distance from them. Okay, and then the third tip. And this you can apply if you aren't even sure if you should go out of your comfort zone, or if you're feeling uncertain while you're taking steps outside your comfort zone. And that is that you can look back and remember something that once was very scary, but now comes easy peasy to you. If you can remind yourself of something that you did that was out of your comfort zone back then, this helps you to see your growth. And if you can see your growth in the past, you can also see that this upcoming step or decision is just another step towards new growth in the future. And if you look back to identify something that once was really outside of your comfort zone but is now completely in it, this thing doesn't have to be related to what you're going to do or are doing right now. So I mentioned that I ran two marathons before. That was really outside of my comfort zone. And now whenever I think of something big outside my comfort zone, I just remind myself of the fact that I ran two marathons. And I can see that, hey, this was once scary and a really big goal, and I really wasn't sure if I was capable. But by staying committed and having a plan for when I needed to run and having like a few support lines in place, I was able to achieve it. And if I did it then, I can do it now again, even though it's in a different area. And I remember I was already doing this when I was a student, because when I was 19, I quit my studies to travel in Latin America or South America, and I stayed there for a year and a half. And I spent about 6 weeks in Bolivia, and I was traveling alone, a young woman. I was much blonder than I am now. Didn't speak so much Spanish, although by the time I was traveling in Bolivia, I could have a good conversation. And there was one moment that I was in a bus, and the bus stopped because there was a roadblock. And there were some fires going on, and there were protests, and everyone had to stop. This happens regularly in Bolivia. And I was the only gringa, the only tourist on board, and half of the bus got out. And I wasn't sure what to do, so I thought, you know, I'll just stay here. And then a man came back, and he spoke to me in English, and he said, we are finding like a smaller bus that can take us through a different route. You should come with us because it's not safe to stay here. I followed my intuition. I went with this other bus. I arrived safely in La Paz, although I had to leave my backpack in the bigger bus because we couldn't find our driver. He had gone off to see the protests or something. And then I arrived in La Paz at 1 a.m., I think. I went to a hostel where one of my friends was working. The hostel was full. I walked around by myself in La Paz at 1 a.m. to find another place to stay. And it all worked out perfectly in the end. I found a place to stay. I made it safely. My backpack arrived a day later and everything went fine. In that time, I didn't feel super scared. I just felt like, okay, I need to be aware of things around me. And I was really alert, but it was okay. But looking back, I was like, wow, that was actually really outside of my comfort zone because I had never walked alone in La Paz by myself at 1 a.m. without my backpack and no idea where I was going. And mind you, this was before the time that we all had smartphones. So I couldn't just find something on the internet and see where I had to go. And when I was a student later, because I came back to the Netherlands after this trip and I completed two bachelors, and I remember I had to give a presentation or something, or I was writing my thesis, I don't remember. But something felt really pressure to me. I felt a lot of pressure around something. And every time I felt that, I just reminded myself, you survived Bolivia and you did it really well. So if you can handle that, you can handle this now too. So for this tip, go back in time, see where you once went out of your comfort zone and how amazingly you did that. And if you want a bonus for this tip, also identify what qualities helped you to go successfully out of your comfort zone and remind yourself that you still have these qualities and that they're going to help you now too. Now let's move on to tip number 4. If you go out of your comfort zone, as I said, it's very normal to experience fear or other emotions, but fear is something subconscious and it doesn't have to be rational. It can actually be very irrational. Like, why was I feeling so scared about showing up for 13 people? It's nothing about survival or anything. So it is an irrational thing. As we experience those irrational things and these emotions, it is good to bring in the rational mind. So if you are feeling very uncertain or pressured or stressed or afraid about something that you're working towards, ask yourself, what is the absolute worst case scenario that could happen? It's a bit of a cliche question. I'm sure you've heard it more often, but it's actually one that works pretty well. As I was sharing with another friend that I felt a bit nervous about the event, she asked me this question. And I got to think and I thought, well, the worst case scenario is that all 13 Globetrotters are gonna hate it and they're all gonna demand their money back. And guess what? That didn't happen. But even in that worst case scenario, I would still be fine. Maybe my ego would be a little bit bruised and maybe I made a tiny financial loss, but that was it. So imagining the worst case scenario helps you to overcome that fear because you see that that fear is way too big for the thing that could happen. Let's say you're getting ready to move abroad and it kind of feels out of your comfort zone. Well, what is the worst case scenario that could happen? That you're gonna hate it there, that you're gonna suffer, and that you decide to move back. And that's it. Maybe it's just one ticket away. Maybe you also, you know, need to sell a house again and quit your job if you're already a bit more settled in that other country. But that's just time and maybe a bit of money lost. But in that worst case scenario, you'll just move back. It's not so bad, this worst case scenario. And for others who are thinking about a career change, I see this a lot with my coachees. They really want to be sure that their next step is the right step before they take that actual step. But well, you can only find clarity through action, is one of my beliefs. And they keep waiting for that confirmation before taking action that's reversed. So if you are in that position waiting for clarity to magically hit you, just ask yourself, if I do take this step, what is the worst case scenario? Well, the worst case scenario is that you're going to see that you do not like this new career. And so you just move back to your old career or you find a new one. It's not so bad. If this is the worst case scenario, fine, I'll take that. Maybe the worst case scenario is that you'll be without a job for 6 months. Now, that is getting more serious. So that means you just need to have some savings in place to mitigate that worst case scenario. So if you feel fearful before or in a next step outside of your comfort zone, ask yourself this question: what is the worst case scenario and how can I prepare for it? Tip number 5 is know thyself. What are your pitfalls or your thoughts that aren't serving you when you step out of your comfort zone? Now, I've stepped out of my comfort zone countless of times, and I'm sure you have too. And it's really good to reflect and see what always happens when I step out of my comfort zone. So in my case, there are usually 2 things that come up in my head or with emotions. And one is that I always feel so under pressure regarding time. I always feel rushed, things feel chaotic, I feel really busy, and I subconsciously tell myself that I don't have enough time. And this is not necessarily the truth. This is just how I experience my world at that moment. I am a very last minute worker. This is when I deliver my best results. But these thoughts come up and I feel it also in my body. I feel the stress and the pressure and the rush. So this came up as I was preparing for the event as well. And I was kind of like punishing myself. Like, why do I always have to start so late? And then I just told myself, no, this always comes up, these thoughts, and you know you work best under pressure, so just enjoy the process because now you're bringing in the results. And so I could more relax into it. Another thing that often happens, and I've mentioned this here on the podcast before, is that I have this annoying, still here, limiting belief of that I must go through life alone. Now, this shows up in relationships very often, but also in smaller things related to work and stepping out of my comfort zone. So as I was spending an evening on doing some stuff for the event, while I was really craving just 2 hours of simple Netflix time, I really had a self-pity parade and I thought, oh, poor me. Now, look at me here, all alone, just working away while everyone else is together and having fun and relaxing. Now, this is 100% self-sabotage. So I recognized it for what it was and I thought, no, I'm not falling into that trap. Because the moment I start to think that and I start to believe that and confirm all those things for myself, I'm not in my best self, my most empowering self, my best energy that I can use to deliver the best results for my clients. No. So I saw this happening and I said, no, this is not going to happen now. I really want to stay in my best empowering energy because that's what I'm going to need to show up as the best coach that I can be. So really know yourself on a deeper level that goes beyond like, oh, I'm a last minute worker and this is what I always do. No, really identify the subconscious thoughts and beliefs that are going on for you. And very often we're not aware of these because they happen on autopilot. And as we go through our days, we don't have enough awareness to spot the autopilot. So if you are getting ready to step out of your comfort zone, see if you can become a little bit more aware of those automatic thoughts and patterns and feelings and beliefs that are coming up for you around this topic or in this process. And don't just follow them as you normally would do, because they're wired that way in your brain. Really step outside of it and tell yourself, no, we're not going to go that route today. And then tip number 6, which is a bit more tangible, and that is to tie a deadline or a promise to the thing outside of your comfort zone. This is how I often do it and how I always stay in high speed towards my goals and in action, because I often announce things to the outer world. And then I have to stick to it. And this really works for me. And I think it works for a lot of people. It might not work for you. Maybe you take bigger action when people don't know about your steps. But you got to be honest with yourself, because a lot of people don't actually tell others because they're afraid to fail. And what if I say this and then I can't achieve that? And then what is that going to say about me? That is not what I mean. But there are a few people who really take better, bigger, bolder action when no one is looking. That's not me. I need people looking at me to get into action. And I know this. So I proactively put this in how I work so that I can continue to venture outside of my comfort zone every time. What I did this time around this live event, to keep using that as an example, was that for my last group program, the Next Level Expedition, when I started it in April, I gave the live event as a bonus because one of them had been asking for a live event for so long. And I also for a long time felt like, oh, I want to organize something because I really felt like, ah, this end result is going to make me happy. Tip number one. But I also knew I need a stricter deadline or promise around it to really make it happen. So I promised them this event as a bonus. Now, the fun fact is only 2 people of this group were able to come to the live event, and the other 11 expats that were there were not in the group program. So even though that was my direct cause to organize this live event this way, it actually brought much bigger results. And I've done this in the past too. For example, with this podcast, for half a year, I was thinking about a podcast and I knew it was going to be a good idea for me, but it was always left for like one day when I have more time. And then I saw one of my personal development and business gurus, Celine Charlotte, who was asking to be on podcasts as a guest to increase her reach in the English speaking world. And even though I hadn't even started my podcast, I pitched the podcast and she said yes. And I was very transparent about the fact that I hadn't started, by the way. And then we had the interview a month later. And so I realized, oh shit, if I have the interview with her, that means I actually have to have a podcast. I have to have some experience in recording myself and editing, etc. I have to have experience in interviewing, and I need to have an episode ready for after her episode and before as well, so that when people listen to the episode with her, they can continue to listen to my other episodes so that I can increase my amount of listeners. So that deadline with her really enabled so many actions that I had been postponing for so long. Because this podcast was something that I wanted to do, but it was also out of my comfort zone. I was maybe a tiny bit scared around the visibility, but mostly this was about the actions that are required are out of my comfort zone because I need to do a lot of research and I just don't have the time and focus for it right now. But by locking that deadline in, I got going and it turned out to be the best decision ever because I love the podcast and it has over 20,000 downloads already. So without that deadline, I wouldn't be here today. And I often do this for my clients as well when I coach them and they are making a career change or starting their business or starting their own podcast. I have one client who has started her own podcast. I serve as an accountability partner because with my coaching journey, you also get WhatsApp support. So in between the sessions, I'm there to follow up on their promises. So if you want to take a big step out of your comfort zone, a scary step, or maybe it's just something that you don't feel that you have the time and attention for it right now, tie a public deadline or promise to it. And this is going to get you into action. Okay, and then the last tip, and that is the one that I learned last Friday, and that is to ask for support. Now, maybe some of you are really good at asking for support. I am not. And I guess most of you aren't either, because the people that I coach, the high achieving expats, they're also very, very self-reliant. They don't like to ask for help because they don't want to be a burden to someone else and they know they can get things done quicker by themselves. So they're not used to asking for support. And I learned this lesson a couple of years ago when my dad unexpectedly died after, this was 3 weeks after I had just moved back to the Netherlands. I was in my new home. I had no curtains, no lamps. I had started a new job at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I was in a really not a good place in my life and I needed support. So I really had to ask for practical support from my friends because I couldn't do everything on my own. I was grieving too much and it was all too much. But I also asked for emotional support. That best friend I called last Friday and asked for emotional and practical support during my live event. There were times I called her in the middle of the night and I was just crying and hyperventilating because I was just in panic and grieving my dad so much. And this was a side that I didn't know very well of myself and needed a chi, by the way. But that period in my life really taught me, hey, it's good to ask for support. Now with the big things, I still do that. With the smaller things, it is more difficult for me. And this life event was a smaller thing. Like, I'm using it as an example now for this entire podcast episode, but it wasn't that big a deal. Yes, I was nervous and I was like, whoo, really feeling the pressure and I was out of my comfort zone. But in the grand scheme of things, this isn't such a big thing. Yet, I asked for support. One, because I realized I actually needed practical support so I could really focus on coaching and not also on making sure that there were cookies and, you know, tea was filled again. But two, I realized that I would actually be really happy with someone in the room that I trust 100%, that I trust with my life. That idea was already really soothing to me. So that's why I decided to reach out and ask for her support on her free Saturday afternoon. And I felt a little bit guilty. I felt I was being a burden, but I thought, no, I'm going to do it. And she said yes, and it was the best decision ever. So if you're going outside of your comfort zone, or you want to make a big move, check in with yourself. Hey, who can I ask for support? Maybe you don't actually do it, but just getting that habit in of seeing what kind of support is available around you can already be super helpful. And then my next suggestion is to also ask for that support. And asking a coach for support is one way to do that, obviously, if you have no right people around you or you don't want to burden them. Okay, these were the 7 tips that I identified that always help me to go out of my comfort zone. And with success, because this live event was really, really nice. And what I always like to think that it may feel as out of my comfort zone right now, but the next time it's going to be in my comfort zone. So I already feel so much more relaxed and confident about the next live event and also very excited. And to answer the question that a lot of people ask me, when is the next one? Well, it's probably not going to be until summer next year, because as much as I enjoyed hosting this live event, it's also a lot of work. And a lot of time and attention goes into it, while this is not necessarily the focus of my business. I work online and I serve clients globally, so a live event in a location is not necessarily the right thing for my business. But I still really enjoy doing it, so for sure once a year I'm going to do this. And even though I'm not hosting a live in-person group event anytime soon, I am starting something new with a group. And that is starting at the beginning of November. It's called the Copilot. And the first people are already in. I've only pitched it to the group that was present at the live event. And the next group of people who are going to receive a very limited offer are going to be the people on my priority list. The Copilot is a new program and this is going to be the first round. So I have a great offer for the founding members who want to get in. And this first round also has a limited number of seats. I'm going to let in 10 to 15, absolutely no more than 15 people into this new round, because I want to make sure there is enough personal attention for everyone. So if you want to be the first to receive this offer, and the first to have a chance to get in and to get one of those 15 seats, get on the priority list. There are absolutely no strings attached. You just get the email from me when the offer is there and you decide whether you want to be part of the group or not. I would really love to welcome you. And for more details what the Copilot is about, go to the link in the show notes. This is also where you can sign up for the priority list. And when the moment is there, you will receive more information, also practical information about the program. For now, I wish you a wonderful day wherever you are. Talk to you soon again. Bye-bye.